Very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 6th September 2022. It's a Tuesday. We will be continuing from this book, The Wonderful Dhamma, Lotus Flower Sutta. We are on page 346. Let us now commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhun Sư Sư Jia Mo Ni Phô. Namo Bhun Sư Sư Jia Mo Ni Phô. Namo Bhun Sư Sư Jia Mo Ni Phô. Namo Quan Sư Yin Bù Sa. Namo Quan Sư Yin Bù Sa. Namo Quan Sư Yin Bù Sa. Namo A Mi Tho Phô. Namo A Mi Tho Phô. Namo A Mi Tho Phô. Namo Amila Pho, Namo Amila Pho, Namo Amila Pho, Namo Pusyam Pusa, Namo Pusyam Pusa, Namo Pusyam Pusa, Namo Tisang Wang Pusa, Namo Tisang Wang Pusa, Namo Tisang Wang Pusa, Namo Pho Pusa, Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swagato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho sanghang namami. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, dhammang saranang gacchami, sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majjhapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Okay, you all can be seated, then we will chant the offering puja. Turn to page 3 of the chanting book. We start off with the Padipa puja, offerings of light. Ganda sambara ditena dipena tamadang sina diloka dipang sambudang pujayami tamonudang. Ganna sambara yutena dopena hang sukhang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang भजनमुत्तमं वन्नकन्नगुणोपेतं एतं कुसुमसन्ततिं पूजयामि मुनिन्दास श्रीपादसरोरोहे पूजेमि बुधं कुसुमेनानेन पुण्येन मतेन च होतु मोकं पुपं मिलयति यथा इदं मे कायो तथा यति विनाशभावं आदिवासे तु नो भन्ते पानीयं परिकापितं आनुकम्पां उपादाय पातिगं हातु मोत्तमं आदिवासे तु नो भन्ते पाले परिकापितं आनुकम्पां उपादाय पातिगं हातु मोत्तमं आदिवासे तु नो भन्ते भोजनं परिकापितं आनुकम्पां उपादाय पातिगं हातु मोत्तमं. Now we are chanting the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of incense, of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May these constant offerings of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be strengthened, be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, finally sharing a transformed marriage to all beings. May this marriage be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Jam. Buddhaṃ pujami. Dhammaṃ pujami. Sanghaṃ pujami. Okay, you all can be seated. Okay, just relax body and mind and maintain some more awareness. Then we shall have our, as usual, half an hour of awareness-based meditation. We will off the light. And you can have your awareness-based meditation. Just relax body and mind completely, with ease. When you are relaxed, You are at peace. You got no issue, no problem. So body and mind completely relax. Whatever tension, stress, you relax into it. Whatever mind state that arises, you relax into it. And after that, silence your mind. Don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. Just aware. Whatever arises, aware, finish. Aware, finish. Then let the awareness nature stabilize. If you can stabilize it, then the thinking or the sankara or thought process, they will slow down and finally cease. That's how you stabilize it. So be patient. It may take a while for people who have not done it. Then once you have done it, it becomes easy because you know it can be done. Then you just continue to relax. The ability to relax, the deeper, the better. And your mind settle down very fast. Yeah, when body is relaxed, means the mind got no issue. The mind got issue, that's why the body cannot be relaxed. Okay, I'll let you continue with the awareness-based meditation. You can now slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have. Inner awareness that you all have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind states you need to use to live your life and then develop the understanding. Okay, now we will continue with the invocation to the devas. Turn to page 6. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives seven release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samantha Chiokawalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Munirajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadang Dhamma Savanankalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanankalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanankalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti Beso Bhagava Rahang Samma Sambuddho Jajarana Sampanno Sugato Lokavido Anotaro Pisa Dhamma Sati Sattang Eva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehibhaseko Opanayiko Pachyatam Viditambo Vinohiti Subhatipanno Bhagavato Saukasango Ujo patipanno bhagavato sāvakasaṅgho nyāya patipanno bhagavato sāvakasaṅgho samici patipanno bhagavato sāvakasaṅgho Yadidam chatari purisa yukani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato sāvakasaṅgho ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkhineyo anjalikaraneyo Anuttarang punyaketang lokasati sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you can visit that. Then just maintain some more attention, then we will continue from where we stop. Page 346, second paragraph. Their numbers are like the Ganges sand. There were as many of them as there are grains of sand in the Ganges River. Then redouble their vigor in advancing, meaning seeing the Buddha pass into extinction, the bhikkhu or bhikkhunis. The bhikkhus and bhikkhunis cultivated as if their lives depend on it. They cultivated for their very lives. If they starve to death, then they starve to death. So they didn't eat and they didn't sleep. They cultivated all day long, redoubled, meaning that they have worked twice as hard. When the Buddha was in the world, they sat for 12 hours a day. Now they sat for 24 hours. They were extremely vigorous. The suttas say in their quest for the unsurpassed, why? They have no one to depend upon. The Buddha has gone. How can we not cultivate now? So they forgot about their slackness and got rid of their laziness. All they had left is vigor in their quest for the Supreme Buddha Way. Okay, next part of the sutra. The Dhamma Master, wondrous like, reverently kept the store of the Buddha's law. For 8 minor aeons, Oh, 80, yeah, sorry. For 80 minor aeons, he widely spread the sutra of the Dhamma flower. All of the eight royal sons, taught and led by wondrous light, became solid in the unsurpassed path and met with Buddhas beyond all counts. Having presented them offerings, they accordingly practice the great way and in succession became Buddhas, transmitting prophecy in return or in turn. The last of these, a god among gods, was a Buddha by the name of Burner of the Lamp, a guiding master of all the immortals who brought release to countless multitude. The Dhamma Master Wondrous Light had a disciple at that time whose heart harbored laxness and who was greedily attached to fame and gain. Seeking fame and gain untiring, he often visited the great clans. He cast aside his recitation, neglected, forgot, and failed to comprehend them. These then were the reason why he was given the name Seeker of Fame, yet he also practiced many good deeds, enabling him to meet uncountable Buddhas. and made offerings to all of them. Accordingly, he walked the great path and perfected the sixth perfection. Now he meets the Sakyan lion. Later, he will become a Buddha by the name of Maitreya, who was broadly take all beings over. So, sorry, who will broadly take all beings over. Their numbers far beyond all counts. Okay, then we go to commentaries. Benefits derived from propagating this sutra. The commentaries. The Dhamma master wondrously reverently kept the store of the Buddha's law, meaning he reverently received the Buddha's Dhamma jewel, holding it as if it were above his head. For 80 minor aeons, he widely spread the Sutra of Light. Oh, sorry. The Sutra of the Dhamma Flower. All of the eight royal sun, the eight sun of the Buddha, brightness of sun one lamp, taught and led by wondrous light. They bow to the Dhamma Master wondrous light as their master. Dhamma Master wondrous light taught and transformed them so that they became solid in the unsurpassed path. They brought forward the solid resolve to seek the supreme way, the highest Buddha way, and met with Buddha beyond all count, meaning they met a lot of Buddhas and uncountable numbers of them. And having presented them offering, meaning they presented offerings to as many Buddha as they met, they accordingly practiced the great way. They made offerings to the Buddha and then followed them to cultivate and sought the Buddha's way, and in cessation become Buddhas. The eight royal sons in successive order, became Buddhas, transmitting prophecies in turn. Not only did they become Buddha, but they bestowed prediction upon each other right down the line. The first transmitted the prediction to the second, and the second to the third, and so forth to the eighth. The last of these, a god among gods. The Buddha is called the god among gods, was a Buddha by the name of Burner of the Lamb, a guiding master of all the immortals. He was a mighty master and guided all of the gods and immortals, brought release to countless multitude. He is not known how many living beings he saved. Then Dhamma Master Wondrous Light had a disciple at that time whose heart harbored laxness and who he didn't think to be vigorous. What he thought about all day was being lazy. If he wasn't thinking about lazy or sleeping, he was thinking about climbing unconditioned. And when he returned from climbing unconditioned, he went back to sleep. When he was done sleeping, he ran back out to climb the conditions. All day long, he was greedily attached to fame and gain, seeking fame and gain untiring. Meaning he had no other task all day but seek the fame and profit. What kind of scheme can I cook up to let people know my name? He thought. He advertised himself everywhere saying, I am so and so. Do you know me? I have got the most cultivation among those who have left home. I work harder than anyone. I recite the sutta and I bow to the Buddha. I get out at 3 in the morning and at midnight. I haven't gone to sleep yet. What am I doing? Cultivating the way. If I am not investigating Dhyan, then I am reciting the Buddha's name and or bowing to the Buddha. He was always bragging about himself and buying himself billboards, advertising signs, and putting advertisement in the paper telling about how hard he cultivated and how devoted he was at his work. That's how he cultivated fame. And what about seeking gain? Fame and gain together. If you have fame, you will have profit. And you have profit, you will gain fame. He went around promoting himself, seeking for fame, afraid that people wouldn't know his name. Once they know, some of the blind ones say, "That monk is a cultivator. Didn't he tell me so himself? We should all go make offerings to him." And they all make offering. Having sought the fame, he got it. And having sought the gain, he got that too. He sought them untiring. Why? Well, he had an easy time getting what he wanted. He just asked and was given. He sought and it was found. However, when he got them, he wasn't satisfied. He received, but it was not enough. He was still unsatisfied. The more, the better. He was insatiable when it comes to profit and reputation. He often visited the great clans. Often mean that he went there 3 to 4 or 5 times a day. The first time, he has come back with perhaps $500. Then he would think, "I don't get very much. I would better go out again. I plan to do so, to do such and such act of merit and virtue. Give me a little more," he would say. And this time, they would give him 1,000, twice as much. Some clans are wealthy, make out of many wealthy people. When they see a monk coming to beg, they will give him as much as he asked for. If he got 500, he will ask for 1,000. When he returned with 1,000, he would think, "I didn't ask for enough. They would have given me 10,000 if I had asked for it." And then he would return saying, "I have completed my act and merits and virtue, and now I have yet another act of merit and virtue which must be done, and it's extremely great. Give me but $10,000 and I can complete the job." The wealthy person hears him say this, and he takes out $10,000 and gives it to him. He gets his way very easily. He goes out again and again to beg for money and end up spending his whole life begging. And the next part of the sutta, he cast aside his recitation, where he was always out running around and climbing on condition. If you ask him which sutta he knew, he didn't know a single one. If you ask him, "Well, what about the Kshatriyas? Which one had you studied?" He couldn't remember one of them. Then what about the Vinaya? He wouldn't, or he wasn't familiar with the Vinaya either. He had cast it all aside. He didn't want to study. He didn't study anything at all. Neglect, forgot, and failed to comprehend them. Neglected means that he put them away. There were sutra around, but he didn't read them. He neglected them. Because he didn't read them, he forgot and failed to comprehend them. That is, he couldn't remember them clearly. This then was the reason why he was given the name Seeker of Fame. He was known as Bodhisattva, Seekers of Fame, Fame-seeking Specialist. Yet he also practiced many good deeds. Although he begged and was forever climbing on condition still, he did a lot of good things. Sometimes when he begged, he didn't keep the money for himself, but used it to festal merits and virtue. He festal merit and virtue of festal merits and virtue, doing all manner of good deeds thus enabling him to meet uncountable Buddhas. Because of all the good things he did, borrowing flowers to give the Buddha, he borrowed other people's flowers to present as an offering to the Buddha. He nevertheless had a bit of merits and virtue himself, and made offerings to them all. In the presence of the Buddha, he cultivated by making all manners of offering. Accordingly, he walked the great path. He always accorded with living beings, and sought the great unsurpassed great way, and perfected the six perfections. Because he did many good deeds, he perfected the six perfections. Giving, he went out to beg, and when he came back, he didn't keep what he got. He gave it away. Morality, he cultivated the precepts, the regulation. Patience, if someone scold him, he pretend he hadn't heard it. How did he do that? His face was like rubber, as thick as the automobile tire. If someone scold him, he paid no attention. If someone hit him, he just pretend it didn't happen. He knew how to be patient. With a face like rubber, no matter who treated him impolitely, it was as if nothing had happened. He looked like a beggar and he begged for his food. Why do those who have left home take their bowl out to beg for food? They always want to adopt the style of a beggar and had no mark of sound. No matter how impolite you are to them, they act as if nothing had happened. So Maitreya Bodhisattva's stomach was like the sea. He could float a boat in it. His heart was the heart of a Buddha, extremely compassionate. He had a short verse, which I had explained to you before, but will repeat for you now. The old fool wore a tattered robe and filled his belly with plain food. He bent the rack to keep his body warm and let the myriad affair just take their course. Should someone scold the old fool just say fine. Should someone strike the old fool, he just lie down to sleep. Spit right in his face, he said, and I will just let it dry. That way, I save my strength, and you have no affliction. This kind of paramitas is the jewel of the jewel in the wonderful. Now that you know this news, how do you worry? How can you worry about not attaining the way? So the old fool is a very old man who wears ragged clothing. When I eat, he said, I don't use oil or salt. I eat until I'm full and then forget it. That's how he cultivated the practice of patience. He can endure hunger and thirst, heat and cold. So it said, he fills his belly with plain food. It may be tasteless, but when he eats it, it tastes just fine. When his clothes rip, he bashed them to keep out the cold. And whatever happened, just happened. It's all taken care of by according to condition. They come, they go, according to the way things are. They take their course. If someone starts scolding the old fool, he just say, I must really thank you. You are a very good scolder. You have scolded me wonderfully well. I simply love to hear the sound of your voice scolding me. That's how he handled it. If someone strike him, he just lie down. If you hit him again, he just go to sleep. Go ahead and beat me as you please, he said. Spit right in my face and I will just let it dry by itself. That way, I don't have to put out the energy to wipe it off. And naturally, you are not going to have any way to fight me because I'm just like a wooden statue without feelings and without awareness. He said, this kind of paramitas, this perfection of patience, is a jewel of the wonderful. Sorry, it's a jewel in the wonderful. Do you know this news? How can you worry about not completing the way? So although on the one hand, it looks as if Maitreya Bodhisattva, sixth name and prophet, he also truly does the work and is not afraid of bitterness or bitter practice in his cultivation. What are bitter practices? The more difficult sometimes is, something is, the more you should want to do it. You should do the things other cannot do. The thing that other people don't want to do, I do. For example, when Maitreya Bodhisattva goes, he specializes in cleaning the toilet. That's the dirtiest work there is. But he does it exclusively. He got up early, sneak into the bathroom, and clean the toilet until it sparkle. He does the most difficult work, the thing no one wants to do. And in doing so, he's not afraid of suffering. The more he does it, the more he likes to do it. So there he is, Maitreya Bodhisattva, with his big belly, always opening his mouth to laugh. He doesn't feel suffering while he walks. He is not like us, who type for a while, then feel that our headache, or print a few sheets, and find it too much trouble. In the beginning, it was very interesting, but after 2.5 hours, not even 3 days, too much trouble. Who told you to do it in the first place? Huh? When you start out, you didn't find it troublesome, but after a while, it gets tiring. That's simply too stupid. Wouldn't you say it was stupid? When you do merits and virtue, you undergo some bitterness. You can't just do it for 1 or 2 days. No matter what people do, haven't I told you this before? They should be solid, sincere, and persevering. You should have these three qualities. Your resolve must be solid. No matter what kind of work you are doing, you must be firm. Sincerity doesn't mean that you do it today and detest it tomorrow. You should think, in the beginning I like it and I will continue to like it. That's sincerity. Then you must persevere. Anyone who can work for 2.5, not yet 3 days, what's hard about that? It's no matter and no problem at all. The several decades we live as human beings is not a long time. Think about all the great eons of Maitreya Buddha cultivating the practice of patience, cultivating giving, cultivating morality, cultivated Dika, cultivated Dhyan, Samadhi, and Prajna. All those great eons were to him just like a single day. And we worked for 2.5 days and are fed up. Didn't you know when you began? If you work, of course, it's going to be trouble. If you don't want to be trouble, the best thing to do would be to go to sleep. That's no trouble at all. Or go out and back, climb on condition. That's no trouble either. When you get there, say, I'm a monk. You should make offering to me. I now need 5,000. Hand it over. And they will give it to you. It will take no effort on your part at all. However, things that take no effort has no real worth or value. And they created no merits and virtue to speak of, because it is merits and virtue which were told to others to do. You didn't do it yourself. Therefore, you should be like Maitreya Buddha. You should have his patience and vigor. You shouldn't be the case that someone makes a remark and you can't let go of it and start to cry, or that someone treat you unkindly and you lost your temper. When you listen to sutra, you must actually put in practice what you hear. If you didn't actually practice, what's the use of listening to them? Every night you listen to the sutra for 2 hours, and when you are done listening, it's just like the wind has been blowing past your ear. It goes in one ear and out of the other. What's the use of that? It's utterly useless. You must truly, actually cultivate, do the work. You have the genuine wisdom. Genuine wisdom, you should not just do stupid things. And genuine wisdom is only gained in exchange for suffering. It is not obtained without the least bit of effort. It is not obtained without the slightest bit of cultivation, nor is it obtained by being afraid, of bitterness, hardship, or poverty. How can you get any wisdom that way? Then if you are not afraid of these things, and you cultivate for a long period of time, you can have some accomplishment. Maitreya Buddha cultivated the 6 paramitas perfectly. Perfectly means that he has possessed all the 6 of them. Now he made the Sakyan lion. The Sakyan lion is Sakyamuni Buddha. Later, he will become a Buddha. After Sakyamuni, Maitreya Buddha will succeed the Buddha position. He is waiting to become Buddha in the future by the name of Maitreya. He is known as a Venerable Maitreya Buddha who will descend in the future, who will broadly take all beings over. He will save all beings, all living beings, a great, great many of them. Their numbers far beyond all count, as uncountable them of all numbers of them. Then the next part of the sutra. After that, the Buddha had passed into extinction. The indolent one was you, and the Dhamma master wondrous light was I, myself, now present here. Okay, commentary. After the Buddha has passed away into extinction, who you say the Buddha was? It was the Buddha brightness of sun moon lamp. The indolent one was you. The lazy bodhisattva was you. You, Maitreya, bodhisattva. And the Dhamma master, wondrous light, now presently, I myself, Manjushri bodhisattva, was the Dhamma master, wondrous light. So this was how the connection. Next part of the sutra. I saw the Buddha, brightness of lamp. His light and potence were like this. Thus, I know the present Buddha, wishes to speak the Dhamma Flower Sutta. Commentary. I saw the Buddha, brightness of lamp. In the past, I saw the Buddha, brightness of sun moon lamp. His light and potence were like this. Meaning his bright potence were like the one now manifested by Sakyamuni Buddha. Thus I know the present Buddha because I saw it in the past. I know that now Sakyamuni Buddha wishes to speak the Dhamma Flower Sutra. So it was similar. Then sutra. The present marks are like the potent past. Expedient device of the Buddha. The Buddha now put forth bright light to help reveal the real mark's meaning. All of you now should understand. And with one heart, join your palm and wait the Buddha. And wait, the Buddha will let fall the Dhamma ring to satisfy all those who seek the way. Commentaries. The present marks are like the potent past, meaning right now the potent revealed by Sakyamuni Buddha's white hair monk light, unlike the one previously seen at the time of the Buddha's sun moon lamp. Expedient device of the Buddha, meaning the dhammas of expediency employed by all Buddhas. The Buddha now puts forth bright light. The Buddha Sakyamuni emit the white hair mark light from between his brow. To have revealed the real monk's meaning, he wants to speak the real monk doctrine of the great vehicle's wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. All of you now should understand, and you should know. Be aware with one heart, join your palm and wait. Meaning, put your palms together, focus your attention. Concentrate and wait for the Buddha to speak the supreme wonderful Dhamma. The Buddha will let fall the Dhamma rain, meaning the Buddha Sakyamuni is about to let fall the great Dhamma rain. To satisfy all those who seek the way, the rain reaches those of all three dispositions, those of superior average and inferior disposition, that is the intelligent, the ordinary, and the Tao. It moistens both the bright and the Tao. The Dhamma rain is like the rain from the sky, which is received in due measure by the flowers, grasses, and trees each according to the amount it requires. The Buddha now speaks the Dhamma, and those of the great vehicle disposition receive the great vehicle Dhamma. Those disposed of the small vehicle understand the small vehicle Dhamma. Common folk understand the doctrine of common people. The rain of Dhamma satisfies all those who seek the way. The next part of the sutra. Those who seek three vehicles, should they have doubt or regrets, the Buddha will remove them now, so that they vanish and none remain. Commentaries. Those who seek the vehicle, meaning, now all the bodhisattvas, sound hearer, and conditioned enlightened, the people of the three vehicles, should they have doubt or regrets? Meaning, if they have doubts or regrets or questions, the Buddha will remove them all now. Meaning, he will now answer your question so that they vanish and none remain. Meaning, he will cause you not to have the slightest bit of doubt. He will resolve all your doubt. They will vanish without a trace. When people cultivate the way, they must cultivate it. If they don't cultivate it, there is no way. Only if you cultivate can there be a way. Therefore, speaking in terms of cultivation, if you don't cultivate, there are no problem at all. As soon as you begin to cultivate, however, the problem come. Why do you come? Why do they come? It's because in former life, your action resulted from a conflux of causes and conditions. Amidst those various different causes and conditions, there are a lot of books which you did not keep accurately. And because these books weren't clear in your present life, as soon as you begin to cultivate the way, the demon king wants to do battle with you, to liquidate you. He causes you to feel that if the affliction aren't coming from one direction, they are coming for another. Affliction come to you from the north, south, east, west, the four points in between, and from above and below, all 10 directions. If you aren't afflicted over people, you get afflicted over things. Huh? If you aren't afflicted over things, then you get afflicted over animals. If you are not afflicted over animals, you get afflicted because of ghosts. If you aren't afflicted because of ghosts, then you are afflicted towards the spirit. Even to the point that you get afflicted at the bodhisattva and angry at the Buddha. You even get angry at yourself. Why does this happen? It's because in the past you are too muddled. You did things too unclearly. And so now you run into all kinds of affliction. Some people cultivate and make a vow not to become afflicted. Because they made a vow, they did really wasn't any affliction. But as soon as they make the vow, the affliction arrived quite promptly. Before they make the vow to eat only one meal a day, they didn't feel particularly hungry. But as soon as they vow, or the vow was made, and they finish eating, they are hungry, so hungry they can't stand it. I'm starved, I'm exhausted, I can't even stand up, and I can't sit comfortably either. It's strange, very strange. What is the principle involved? Well, when you go to school, after you have studied for a while, you take a test. If you pass the test, you can ascend to a grade. If you don't pass, you have to repeat the course. Cultivation is the same. If you cultivate the way, the demon will test you to see ultimately if you can endure it or not. If you can't endure or bear it, or not. I often tell you that you must endure what others can't endure, take what others cannot take, eat what others cannot eat, and do what others cannot do. That's how you should be. That is the basic job of cultivating the way. And one who can do this can be considered a cultivator. Okay, next chapter, chapter 2. Chapter 2 is on expedient devices. At that time, the world-honored one arose serenely from Samadhi and told Sariputta, "The wisdom of all Buddha is extremely profound and unlimited. The gateway to this wisdom is difficult to understand and difficult to enter. It cannot be known by any of the sound hearer of Pachika Buddha." See? It is so profound. What is the reason? The Buddha have in the past drawn near to countless hundreds of thousands of tens of millions, tens of thousand millions of Buddha, exhaustively practicing the unlimited Dhamma of the way of those Buddha. They are forging ahead with courage and vigor, and their name is unknown everywhere. Okay, outline. The branches division of the sutta, general explanation, opening the tree and revealing the one, generally opening and revealing, lauding the Buddha, two wisdom, prose, praising the two wisdom with words, describing the provisional natural wisdom of all Buddha, acclaiming both types of wisdom, describing the foundation of both types of wisdom. Okay. Then we go to the commentaries. The previous prose and verse section were an introduction to the sutta, setting forth the sutra's causes and conditions. Now that the causes and conditions have been related, we will proceed to explain the second chapter, which is called chapter 2, the expedient devices. So the first chapter is mainly introduction to the sutta, setting forth the sutra's causes and conditions. Now that it has been done, so now we are going to chapter 2. I think from now on, it will be more and more interesting. Earlier on, one is more difficult. A device is a method. And expedient means effective. This type of method is a provisional Dhamma, not the real one. It's a provisional device designed for temporary use. Real means that it is forever unchanging, forever usable. However, you begin by speaking the unchanging real Dhamma. No one can understand. That is why the Buddha in the Ten Directions artfully set for expedient Dhammadhammas and bestow the provisional for the sake of the real later. They open the provisional to reveal the real. So this has been a practice of done by a lot of Buddhas. And it is not easy to penetrate the real monk Buddha, the real monk Dhamma. So provisional monk are just some provisional skillful means, or they call expedient ways or devices. You use them because that is the way to attract those who are not so like well developed in their understanding from the past. So all these people, you need expedient way to bring about the causes and conditions for them to learn. Then when they have learned, then they will develop the faith, the interest. Then when they develop the faith and the interest, that is the time to teach them more and more in-depth teaching until they are ready to receive the more profound teaching. Then only you start the true teaching. It's just like we all, when we started, it's the same. Initially, when I came out, it was like world apart, everything. Because we have to understand it this way. The Buddhas, the great beings, the Bodhisattvas, their understanding is so way ahead. They have actually cultivated for very long, many, many eons. They have perfected themselves with the voice, virtue voice, then they come out and teach living beings. So when you come out and teach living beings, chances are you have to go through the causes and conditions, and most of them are very, very new, may not even have much understanding. So when you start teaching, it's not easy. It's seldom that you have the causes and conditions to meet up with really, really talented and wise cultivator who have already done a lot in the past. So this is usually the way. It's just like this line, this segment of my nature, when it comes, initially, it also has to develop expedient way or skillful means to teach the Dhamma. I cannot go straight into the true Dhamma, which is the three hallmarks of meaning. No thought, no mark, and no dwelling. Where people are not ready to understand all this. It's just like you start your education. You don't teach them the basic. Maybe kindergarten level, you start by teaching them all the important base for them to go to school so that they have this base. And when they go to primary school, it's easier for them compared to those who didn't go kindergarten. Then when they are in the primary school, they start here at the primary school level. Then when they move on to a secondary school, they are taught more things. Then as they move on to upper secondary, they are even given more complicated or deeper type of syllabus. Then after that, they go uni. Uni, you study more complex and more difficult subjects. Then after that, when you graduate, you are still very raw. A lot of things you still cannot understand why. Because you have not entered the physical world. You have not entered the job market. You have not had the experience to understand all this. That's why you have to work Yeah, to integrate into life, to actually develop the understanding and the experiences. Then after that, you develop maybe higher qualification and understanding from a graduate general degree or an honors degree. You go and study master's, then you study PhD, and you specialize and become very good. But here, the way or the entire cultivation to perfect yourself, to realize Samasa Buddhahood, is like you have to study all, perfect them all. But you can specialize in one or two of the 10 perfection. That one is possible. So that analogy is quite similar. And because of that, at every level, you have to teach differently. The expedient way, the expedient device that you use, and also based on causes and conditions, you must have the ability to actually share your understanding. Unless you have that ability, you cannot teach. It's just like for somebody who has perfected themselves to the understanding of PhD level, as they have known and understood most of the thing, then you want them to come out and teach people of all kind of category. Maybe some of you just at kindergarten level, so it will not be easy. But as a bodhisattva, you have to do the work. As long as there's causes and conditions, you have to fulfill your duty, your vows, and do the work. Okay, we go back. Okay, I think I can stop here already. Okay, I have to get the other book. This chapter one finished already. Never mind, I will find the book. Chapter two. I don't have it here. Never mind. It's okay. So we stop at chapter two. Okay, then we now open up for meditation, reporting, Q&A, and also Dhamma sharing. If you have anything that you want to share based on your cultivation and understanding, you can. It's Dhamma and daily life. Okay, so now we open up. Anybody wants to report meditation or ask any question, you can just put up your hand.
Actually, I think I already shared about I can still say something.
Good.
So I think I have been to the retreat. Maybe three or four times.
Yes.
So this time I find it's so far the best for me.
Very different. Your understanding suddenly arises. Then you are able to do it. That's why it benefited you. Now you can do the formal meditation longer. And you are relaxed, and you are more calm, more peaceful, tranquil. Very good.
But besides that, I detected, but this one was already like improving over the years. Why I find that last time, if I go to a new place, like go for tour, or anywhere that I need to stay at a new place, I will feel very uneasy. With the surrounding, like
correct.
Using the toilet, or sleeping on a new bed. And I also have this kind of anxiety, like I don't know, because it's different from my day to
day. Correct. You know why or not? Because this is what we call our comfort zone. When you are with your comfort zone, because everything is already like you have understood it, you are familiar with it. So like your career, your job. Comfort zone means no problem when we are at home, because this is what we do every day, and you know where the things are, and you know you have been having the good life and the good time. Then suddenly, like you change job, you are in a new environment where you totally, completely new to the environment. Like you said, your example is toilet different, bed different, all those things. But job wise is management style different, the work culture different, the colleague different, and then the way they assess an employee is all different. Then even the state of thing, the standard of thing that they use is totally different. Yeah. Last time I remember, Sui got a classmate who changed job. Then the new job, I think the way they use the IT solution is different. The approach is all different. So she's not familiar. Took her, it's quite a senior post. So it took her quite a while to learn. But then that company, they don't care whether you are new or old. They employ you, hire you, willing to pay you. If they want you to deliver, you cannot deliver. They just tell you honest or not. So comfort zone to a new place, if you don't have the experience, understanding, and the wisdom behind, you cannot handle. Yeah. Then the other thing is not about career. Like you say, when you go to another place, have retreat, and go overseas, travel. And most people tell me they cannot sleep because the environment different. Then like you say, the bed different, the toilet facility, the condition all different. Especially you go to country that you haven't been before and the culture are so different. I remember in the early days, before China become what it is, I went there actually when it was not developed yet, the 80s. Then later on the 90s, at that time China was very backward. Yeah. So they say the toilet number one, very smelly, not proper toilet. And their culture is so different. Their toilet, you go in, no toilet door. then whatever you excrete out, just drop down. Sometimes it's just a hole into a very cliff or one. Then the smell, the flies. Then sometimes they got a central drain. Then everybody go and squat, like one by one, in front of each other. They just squat and do their business there. So for Malaysian who has a lot of problem with this, they really cannot adjust. So comfort zone is like that. When you are at a place where you are not familiar with, not comfortable, then you develop such problem. So if you are a cultivator, you can accord and flow because the understanding is what? You have to accept that is the reality. That's not. You are there. Full stop. So either you echo and flow and adjust, or you will become miserable. That's why now you understand over the years after you develop the understanding, the training, then you have improved, you have progressed. That's why now you are less affected. You can settle down, you can be at peace, you can be contented. Then the way you reflect at things, the way you perceive things is different. So you no longer depend on the comfort zone, understand? Yeah. But of course, as usual, home is still home. So when we come back, we can actually recuperate faster. We can rest better. Yeah. But for me, it's that because at the retreat, our routine actually almost initially is like upside down. Yeah. Here normally when because not like last time when I cultivate that time, I wake up very early on, and I have to work and all things. I got my duty and I got my religious routine. But nowadays after I have developed the understanding of the Dhamma, so I have my new routine. So what I do is mainly Dhamma work. Then I usually sleep a bit late. Then I wake up a bit late too. I normally wake up 8 something. Yeah. But at the retreat, suddenly the shift, you wake up 5 o'clock, 5 something. But for me, it's not a problem. I can just adjust. Because we have been there before. Even if we have not been there before, for me, no problem. Because this is the causes and condition behind. So we have to accord and flow. Then we have this 8 to 9 days. Actually, this time, although 9 days, the actual sharing and all things was only 8 days. And the schedule is quite tight, even you all know the break that we have for our lunch, our breakfast, and also for our those who take the 5 precepts, the dinner or 8 precepts, you go for a drink and all things. The break time, sometimes because you have to do your duty, is also not enough. So it is very packed, actually. And for you to go through that 8 days continuously is not easy if you are new. Somebody mine is not. I sue you on me. I didn't put it on there. Okay, thank you. So all this, when you understand, then you know how to deal with it. Then for us, it's not a problem because these are the understanding. Then when you have the understanding, we can actually endure. So normal circumstances, even a lot of teachers or monks, if they go through this style of schedule, not to say 8 days, sometimes 5 days is not easy, they cannot take it. Especially every day you have to share, you have to talk, you have to speak. That's why I now, over time, I know my throat. If I don't do this very often, means once a year I do it, if continuously like that, my throat sure cannot take it. That's why I ask Kaidamita to help me read. Then when I need to take over to explain, I will do it. Then a lot of people ask me, even you Chan also ask me, I brought you, you don't need to rest. Tuesday class honor. Say honor. That's why I got no problem. But once I come back, I can relax. Then I can recuperate. In fact, that night I recuperate. The next day I'm okay already. That night I slept through very good sleep. My wife was the same. I only wake up almost 8 something to 9. Then I realized what happened is we have been there 9 days, wake up earlier. So when I rested or something or near to 5 a.m., I realized I was wide awake already, even though I was very tired, but no problem. Then I just continue with my meditation, awareness, and all this. Well, then I realized I went deep into the awareness because I was able to relax into it. Then I went deep into it. Then after that, when that 1 hour or one pass, then we normally have our morning chanting, morning exercise, then we meditate as a, that time come, I continue my meditation. Well, then I have a very good recovery. Then I became like fully recuperated. Then I go about my day. Even that day when we came back, we have to unpack, we have to do a lot of things. Then we even take them for dinner or something. No problem. But at night, we know we have to sleep early. Yeah. I think at about 10 p.m. or what is that? Then we want to recuperate and all things. Then you remember, Jin Hao did a lot of work because he has to take charge of the video, the recording, the editing, everything. Then he like, no rest, no enough rest. He worked until very late. After our class over, he continued with Sui. Then morning, wake up early, then start the work. Then after that, as usual, 8, 9 days. So when he was there, I already knew he was very tired. When he lie down, meditate, the first few days, you remember, he was driving somewhere. Snoring and all that. Not only that, later on, I think after a few days, I saw him starting to sneeze, especially in the last few days, sneezing Name is the one he like win already. According to him, is the goal there. Yeah, I think not so bad as PG. PG was really bad. But PG one is a combination of karmic and also her health and all those things. But luckily, she managed to endure through and develop the understanding that there was certain shock moments of understanding that turned the thing around, and she experienced some good transformation too. But you have to accept that everyone is different. Then before the class start, I think afternoon, sorry, 4 o'clock or 3 something, I forgot. Jitao text me, "Mr. Pratibhati, very sorry, cannot attend tonight, Tuesday." Then she said, "He's not fully recovered yet." He said, "Not fully recuperated yet, because of the flu or the cold at Cameron." I said, "No problem. Take a good rest. Take care and take a good rest." So that's how it should be. Because you look at him, although he's still young, compared to me, I think he's at least 20 years or 20 plus years younger than me. So because of that, you look at the way he go through it, he not enough rest. So not enough rest, you will have this type of problem. But you cannot blame him because he did a lot of things. He is very committed. That's why I rejoice. But like I say, when he do all this, he sacrifice the attention to cultivate and go all out. But he gained that type of merit, which is very different. Because he is doing up the website, the short video, the audio, and all those things. And I think he is the one, mainly the pillar behind the website that we have. And this is the work he want to do because he make vow, he make aspiration. So my nature knew he will have his parami in future. He will have this great, what they call sacrifice type of parami to help him achieve and realize what he want to realize. Then he will move. So what we need to understand is this comfort zone come with the conditioning. Where we are very conditioned, that thing arise. Then if we don't have the understanding, we cannot deal with it. So a lot of people ask me, "You don't need to rest." He say even monk also need at least 3 days to recuperate and all things. For me, because like I said, when I was young, I can actually do it nonstop. But as I age, I need to adjust. But I echoed and flow with condition. I don't want to like make this body overwork, not enough rest, then develop its own problem. Because the way I understand it is I follow my way. And my way is, when there is condition, I only manifest. Then I echo and flow, and I don't do all this just because I know this one is for my mind, not me. It depends, because I look at it, there is a reason for me to continue to maintain this form. Thus, I have my family, and my family are beautiful. And if I can maintain this form for a longer period, more people can benefit too, Manasana. Then I can also help more people. But if there is condition for me to go all out to share, because when I see the causes and conditions, like there are many people who can understand. Then this window, if I don't share and go all out, once this window is over, like Sakyamuni Buddha's time, because when he arrives, all his disciples and those who have affinity with him arise. And during that time, not like us, got internet and all those things. He got to walk from places to places, understand? So how many can he teach and share? That's why he has to walk. Not enough rest, also he has to walk. Now we have technology and all those things. I don't have to do that, Anasa. I take my time. I look after my health. Then I do all this steadily. To me, it will benefit more people, understand? Instead of rushing all the way, because I realized, like I say, most of the time when I was ready, 89 to 204 for 15 years, I realized nobody was ready, hardly anyone. So what for? I come on. That's why, like Hui Ning, the sixth birthday, I didn't come on. Then when Yuan Jiang came and invited me to come out, I start coming out. Then I saw people not ready. That's why I have to, like the chapter 2, experience device or skillful means to teach you all in a different way, to prepare you all, the essential dhamma, everything. Then slowly get you develop the understanding, to have the faith. And then only I start to teach more and more detailed type of teaching. Then as you progress, then I can say more, I can share more. To me, this should be the way. Echoed and flow, understanding condition, everyone is different. Then the last few years, I saw the understanding was there. That's why I started sharing things that I never shared before. I went into more detail, I explained things more detail. So these are all the experience devices or way that great beings or Bodhisattvas or even Buddhas, they will do. Because based on those understanding, like I said, all these great beings, the Samasambuddha, their nature, they have cultivated and perfected themselves for so long. From that level, how can they teach people down there? But you will be surprised, Dhamma is different. Dhamma is, you can teach kindergarten until the final university level, no difference. You can share. Then how much they can receive is up to them. The same teaching, when you are able to explain simple ones, but different people receive it at different level according to their capacity. So when you have those understanding, you can do this type of work. But then those who don't have the capacity, you teach the deeper one also no use, but they cannot understand. So you have to like move on to the stages that they are in. Like if they are still a putujana, kansan, susan, then you have to teach them very basic thing. And if they can follow and develop some form of understanding, it's really good for them. But there is the preparation stage for them to enter the spiritual path, to start somewhere. Then when they are ready, then only teach them the sainthood way, the essential dhamma, all those things to awaken. Then after that, when they are ready to become enlightened, realizing arahant, then you see you got condition. You teach the Bodhisattva way, understand? And the Bodhisattva way is a very extensive cultivation. The experience and all those things, they are very extensive. So when you understand all this, then you will know how to share, you will know how to time yourself and all those things. So all this are the understanding that the individual cultivator of the way has. So how you want to approach it, how you want to teach it, depend on the condition at that time. So most of these great beings, they will know. But for me, I have my unique way. Unless there is this special condition where I have to go all out, even not enough rest or enough sleep or so, I will do it, which I can do, but I don't see such condition as yet manifesting. That's why I accord and flow and just do as per whatever it is. So all this sharing, you look back. When I started until now, it's still the same teaching. I still teach the same teaching, except I now have the condition to go deeper, to explain more in depth for people who has the understanding. That's why from the provisional teaching, you go up to the maybe intermediate level, then after that you go up into the higher level. And stage by stage, all this will manifest and develop by itself. So this is what a cultivator has the understanding. Comfort zone will not be a problem to them. The echo and flow, they know what this thing is. So like I have been through a lot of things. In the early years, 1990 or 91, 92, I remember I went and visit Acharya Pradakatina in Australia, Bellwood Farm and a few areas. I brought along my whole family, my wife, my two children and all those things. Then when we were there, the conditions were very extreme, very extreme. I've never been to a cold country before. Then that year when we were at Bellwood Farm, it's about 500 kilometers outskirts north from Sydney. And it's a farm, very cold, you know, at night, minus 60 degrees Celsius, very, very cold. Then that time, we haven't experienced cold weather like that before. But luckily, we brought some warm clothing, but don't have the heat pack and all those things now that we had. Last time was normal, we go to this palace, winter clothing, bulky and expensive. Then later on, I think we were lucky when we were there. The local people told us, you can go to the town. There is a town near the sea, the coast, Port Macquarie, which is very near Bellwood Farm. They say about 10 minutes drive. You go there, you can maybe go to the Salvation Army, get some warm clothing, very cheap. So I saw a fur coat, Ben Aussie, I bought. And my wife luckily did that, kept her warm and all those things. Well, my wife initially last time, the health not so good. She very scared of cold. I go to Shanghai also, you see, during December time, winter, remember, the lips all pale and white, so cold. Despite buying the jacket, a very expensive jacket, but doesn't help because that time the health not so good. But nowadays we got no problem. So all these are the causes and conditions. So I realize I can adjust. Then like I shared last time, people asked me, where do you go? Oh, I went to Australia. I brought my whole family there. But they ask you, oh, how was that trip? Of course, I say, beautiful, good. But if they know what I did there, they will say, what are you doing? This is really nonsense. Because I flew all the way there not to visit Australia. We were in Sydney, Bellwood Farm area. Then later on, I think we visited, during that trip, I think we visited a few places. We were driving to there, then we passed through a few towns, Canberra, and there was another one after Canberra, I forgot. Then later on, we also went to Melbourne. Then our recent previous few years on the invitation of Chi Wei was to Perth, which was very beautiful. So what happened was when we flew into Sydney, of course Ramananda and Sister Sumitra, they are the one who actually organized the thing. They helped us to get a Thai, who is very helpful working in Australia, to fetch us. So he drove us all the way from the airport, 500 over kilo. Then when we reached there, it was late already. Then we stay in a farmhouse. There is this, the fireplace where there is a chimney. But no firewood, nothing. We had to go and find the firewood. When we reached there, it was 6 something already, almost dark already, so cold. So luckily outside got some firewood. Then we managed to light the fire. Then that night was very cold, very cold. But the children, we of course tried to make them comfortable. And that time I think they were okay, they were young. So they sort of like it though. But for normal people, you cannot take it. Then Because it's a farm outside, got this thick dog, they say. They got snake and all those things. Then the kitchen and all those things, what you expect down there? But the Thai devotee were good. They really cook, but we are not used to Thai food at that time. We were so new. Everything very spicy, Thai style, Tom Yum. But later we learned to adjust and like Thai food. Then in between, for an example or 8 days, like our retreat, but don't have proper place to sleep or no. So at night, my wife and my children, they all together with some kilometers, they actually slept at the kitchen there where there is a fire gas burner to keep warm. Then they have tent and all things. So I was lucky because Ravaman invited me to stay in the, you call that one, the container. Then he got another bed outside. So he was sleeping inside. Then he invited me to share. So I got a very comfortable bed. But it was cold. But I know how to silence my mind and develop the awareness. So I was okay. And when I came out, every time I meditate, anapanasati, mindfulness, awareness, I managed to keep warm. No problem. So I can adjust. So for that 7-8 days, we didn't travel nothing. We go to a farm and go through all this cultivation and katina. So, and we spent that time, well, whole family, cost me about 10 over 1,000. No? At that time, money very big, you know. So, it was about 30 years ago. So, just imagine, not to tour, not to enjoy anything, but for spiritual, understand. People cannot understand. But we have the understanding. That's why I have the faith I can go. And I'm willing to spend that money and all those things. And that was the first time I go to Australia. I apply visa, everything for my family. So comfort zone depends on your understanding. If you have the understanding, you will not be affected. Like now you have improved, you are not affected. So this is good. It's a sign that you have developed the understanding and you are more able to cope. So this is what I feel is important that we should share it. So you can continue, Manya. Anything else you want to add?
When I came back, right, because today, no, Monday, I still take leave. Today, I came to work.
Oh,
okay. I went for work.
Mm-hmm.
But before I left the office for the retreat,
mm-hmm.
they suddenly asked me to do something, you know, which I have to do on Tuesday. But then I don't have time already because they told me, I think, Wednesday, then Saturday we go for the
retreat.
So the thing that I need to do, I need to look through and then get approval.
Because
they asked me to present something. So I cannot simply present. I have to get approved.
Correct.
But then I was rushing for my work. And then when I tell my boss, can I change to another time?
Yeah.
He said, okay, no problem. If the other person agreed to change with me.
Swap. Swap. Very good.
So I talked to that person. That person was like, you cannot, Ramyuan. I also long leave. I also rushing for my work. So then, I can understand her. No choice. So I say I cannot change. I speak to it. But then, I also don't know whether it will work out or not. But Monday, because I was still off, in the afternoon, I log in to check. As I do, I can feel that even though it's not like total calmness,
correct,
but it's not like last time.
Panic, anxiety. Now very different. Now you can do it. Well, this retreat, this one changed you a lot. I can see. When at the retreat, of course, I can see, I can sense and all things. Then you also reported. Then when you came back, I remember when we arrived here, Chin House, man. So when you want to go back, I saw the smile in you, the joy in you before you left. So I see you have become different. You're more confident now. And you are able to speak out. Like my wife, I also got a shock. suddenly put up hand. Last time, before you call her or you say business deal share, she'll put her hand like that. Sometimes two hands. PG also no. But this time different. I want to share.
Not only that, the voice very confident.
The voice very confident. That is what transformation is. Understand? When you have the understanding, the Dhamma, you become different. Because last time I used to tell her, you just share. Don't be like what the thought tell you. Well, who is shy? The thought is shy. So last time she like cannot overcome that. But that retreat was good.
Not easy to overcome.
Yeah, of course, I know. That's why I gave her time. I didn't like tell her all. No, because she is she. I said, you just say, because I know she has the understanding. But she paise, that is the habitual tendency. Herself, the thought keep on telling through the back door. So now this treatment, this retreat make her understand a lot of things. That's why there was joy. And I can see her very different. This retreat, she was very good. She even come and attend to me and help me a lot of things. But they were all very beautifully done and with confidence. She like more independent now. She can do a lot of things. Very good, Sadhu. You continue. Yeah. So finally you managed to do it.
Like last time, if I were to do it, I will keep on like going through the slides.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
At least the voice behind us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Will I be able to
pop? Yeah, the fear, the worry.
Not so much.
Yeah, because this is the understanding that you have developed. The clarity, the understanding. So now you are less like last time. Last time you were very negative. Your small thing can irritate you. So you have improved quite a lot over the years, which is very good for your life. And this improvement and understanding will also enable you to have good relationship with your family members, your parent, your brother, your colleague, like what you have shared with us in the office and all those things. So Dhamma is a living Dhamma. When you have the Dhamma, you can live it. You can become a different person. With the understanding, you can become a blessing to all, understand? Then sometimes like who? Brother Tiu, you remember he's sharing? He said now in the office, people consult him on problem. Yeah, he also don't know. Because the way he solve problem and resolve things, and he has clarity now. He's no longer like last time. He's cold first, fire first, whack you first, give you pressure, ultimatum. No, she approached it differently. And people now have confidence in him. That's why they like to talk to him and ask him many things. So this is what Dhamma can actually make a big difference to one's life, and make you feel confident, make you have the understanding to help people, to be a blessing to all. So this is beautiful. Continue, Emily.
I used to be like very afraid of people who talk very loud.
Correct.
Or when they say things to you.
Correct.
Not in a nice way.
Yeah.
Very harsh like that. But I realized that, you know, these few months, they still speak the same way.
Yeah. But you can sense you are different now, isn't it?
Different is like...
You can handle, you can cope.
Just
like Maitreya, just now they're sharing, you remember?
I'm not that good.
Of course. he cultivate perfection of patience, Kanti. So very patient. You can tell him or scold him or whatever, he smiles. He said, he said, your voice is very nice. Your scolding is very good. So patience is like that. Because this one is really have the understanding one. Because you get angry for what? Evil result that create negative karma or say. But if you do it to somebody who is also heedless and deluded, you end up quarreling, arguing, conflict, and maybe you ending in fighting each other and get into big problem. But because of the understanding, Maitreya just accord and flow and accept the reality. But to him, he has right view, law of karma. Maybe last time he did that to people. Now condition arise, he become the victim, people do it to him. So he accept. When he accept, he accept peace. That's why he endure, patiently endure. Then because he endure, things get resolved. Yeah, it doesn't create repercussion. Like two hands, when you clap, only got sound. If one hand want to clap, the other hand not participating, no sound. So it's the same. Even if you scold or whatever, if there is no response and he someone give you such nice comment and praise, you also give up, or you also allow. Okay. Enough. So he let it be. So there are many ways to cultivate patience. One of it is, of course, like you say, Maitreya one is not easy to actually follow. That's why he is Maitreya, understand? But this is trying to tell you, cultivation can be very different. Outwardly, you look at him like, he wants fame, he wants one and all those things. But he take the money not for himself, understand? He use it to do merits actually. And when he do merits, even wrong, Shen Hua did mention this, he must have used it and do a lot of this merit. When he make offering to someone, somebody that he know, and cultivate a lot of this beautiful condition. It's, most of it is like not his money, because he go and pick up and talk to people. I cultivate, then I want to develop the cultivation further. I want to do a lot of good things. So then people donate. So what happened is, he also on behalf of all these people, when he received, he rejoined. Then on behalf of these people, he make all the offering and donation. Then he share marriage, he transfer marriage, and so on. So this is how he finally became Sammasambuddha too, where he fulfilled the six perfection. And he fulfilled it through all this way, which not normal cultivation by a bodhisattva. And as like the way he go about doing all this thing, I don't know. My nature, I won't do this type of thing. And out of there. But he is peculiar. He is unique. That's why with that type of quality of perfection, he will still make it, but in his own unique way. So a lot of people who don't understand, when you read all these sutta, the thought will start to comment on, hey, got great being like that one, how can he have fame and all those things, and want to like indirectly is and take a chin, you understand? Like you want to deceive people. No, he is not. Well, of course, when I say he very lazy, Alexa, and all things, then didn't really read the sutta and all things. Then he like just spend more time going to the clan and try to get them to donate more, understand? But I don't think so. He must have cultivated, except that he spent more time doing those type of things, understand? For me, is when I cultivate. Then I take care of karma. I know I have the parami. I will receive wealth and all those things. But I don't need a lot on this. I only need what I need. Then with what I need, I can make offering, donation. Like this, how you look. We make a lot of offering and donation. Even before 1989, I make a lot of donation too at that time. The money was big, but we make offering, we make donation. Then I invite them to dinner. So these are the things you will do. And when there is condition, you will make offering. Yeah. If you have the understanding, the money will come. I explained to some Kayamita this time, this segmental life, because the way I come is different. I saw a lot of great cultivators or the great even Xu Yun, all those things. Well, their life was very tough. Even Master Shen Hua, their life was very tough. They have to go through a lot of things. Then they have to depend on people for all the resources and whatever. But for me, I have a different understanding. I want my own understanding to allow me to have all this so that I do not depend on people or myself. That's why you realize one thing, I come out and share. I don't need support on myself. I only had a Kayamita fund for the Kayamita. Apart from that, I don't need support. Sometimes Kayamita fund when it started, I remember, not enough fund that I donate one. I keep on donating one so that the fund will have enough. But later on, surprisingly, when people start to benefit, then people donate without even me knowing. Then end of the year, Suyang will report to me, oh, we received so much. Then 7 years, then I realized, hey, the money start growing up. That's why after that, I started to trim down my own personal offering unless I have a condition. Like even this retreat, the Sampo Temple. Yeah, I know only 20 or 21 of you understand. How can we raise funds to make offering donation? 10,000 to Sampo Temple. No way. That's why I started making the offering. Then Kayamita Fund donate 3,000 to the common fund. Then I donate personal for my family and not to say, I think 2,000. Then later on the dinner, the breakfast and all that. I think total 3,000-4,000. Then Mama Suri also donate. Then we didn't open up to Kayamita. You realize that? Last time because it's official. We open up the camera. So a lot of who didn't go also make donations, remember? So Sui An just this year asked you all to contribute, to donate to breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Then the rest is willingly on your own, only 20 of us. But we surprisingly managed to get about 18 over 1,000 is it total. After the expenses, everything count minus back. So we still can afford 10,000 to donate to Sampo Temple. And Fatan Sifu was very happy because such small growth, you know, is not easy. You know. Oh, it's equivalent to each retreat participant donate 4,000, you know. You understand? No? Oh, then you somehow have to pay for your, although it's very cheap. I think 200 something per person. How much? How much you all pay? 280. 9 days of 280 plus food, everything. So free lodging. So one day, let's say 30 over ringgit. Let's say 8 days. 280, 8 days is more. Less than 40 ringgit or 30 over. You go and rent chalet or share room also cost you more. No? At least you have to pay 100 plus or 200 for a room, no, outside. But this one, 30 ringgit, 3 meal a day, hot water, room, everything. And the environment was so conducive. Where to find, you understand? No? You stay at home, eat also, I tell you, cost you more. You go out for one dinner, go restaurant, maybe 200 over ringgit already, that meal. So one meal only. Then 9 days. So all this understanding you have, you rejoice. And for me, there are things that I can understand and foresee that I will do my part. So what I'm trying to tell you is, my nature come with all this that I need, so that I don't have to depend on people. That's why you also have more faith and confidence. I don't have to depend on donation and all those things to start. I just let things be. If you've got condition, let it happen. Then volunteer, like all this Jin Hao, you all that help out and all that say, oh, volunteer. Understand? You are just come, you do your part, then the transcript, the whatever book, the website, everything come by itself. The images also come by itself. Understand? I didn't do anything. That's why everything you have your understanding, the echo and flow, that it will manifest because it wants to manifest. Understand? Yeah, then my daughter, how she come and help also, like timing, perfect one, no? Oh, retire at the right time, come back during MCO, and then Zoom. At first, I never dream I can Zoom. There is such possibility. Zoom. I also don't know what Zoom is also at that time. And she told me there is one listed company, you are Zoom. Oh, so a lot of things, it just happened. Mm. Okay, yeah, we just wrap it up. Huh? I think the time is up already. Yeah,
Radia, I would like to express my appreciation and gratitude to you for what you have done for me and also all the Kala
Yamitas.
Thank you very much.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So my nature also rejoins. We are, if you all can understand, appreciate, all this is going to benefit a lot of people. It's not only us, from us. This is how it started. Everything starts small. Like Shiji, everything, it starts small. Shiji, the housewife all start with the bamboo bank, you remember? Kei Kok Chin, coins, they accumulate, then they grow until so big. So all these are the causes and conditions. But for my nature, it's different. I don't want quantity one. I want quality. I come with the wisdom way. And I want to transmit this teaching, this understanding, this Bodhisattva wow, so that even one of you take off. Understand? Enough already. Because this one will spin off a lot and trickle off a lot. But I believe almost all of you will take off. I understand. Well, you have your parami. All of you will take off. And you know, once you all take off, everyone is like a potential relative. Understand? Then all this will continue. And this is only one segment of my life. There are other segments that can create a lot of wonders. So Dhamma is very beautiful when you understand. Okay, so we end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits and the transfer of merits. Then after that, we will do the closing puja. Aka satta cya bumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumodhitwa cirang rakkantu loka sasana etta watta ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sapa sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu Sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu hontu nyatayo tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo devo wasatu kalina sasa sampati hetu cya fito bawatu loko cya raja bawatu damiko Imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to Sakyamuni Buddha, Kuan Bodhisattva, and all the other 41, let me end that. Sadhu.